Well, it's week three of our new Bible study series called The Unnamed Women in the Bible, a five-part series with this free Bible study guide that you can download right now on our See, Hear, Love website. Well, today we're learning about the unnamed servant girl in 2 Kings 5, 1 to 16, featuring Bible teacher Dr. Sarah Hahn and this incredible panel seated around the table and ready to go. And we hope you're ready too. Well, did you know theologians estimate that more than 600 women are mentioned in the Bible without their names? So in the following Bible study series about these inspiring unnamed women and girls, we're going to learn more about their context and history. We're going to dive deeper into their stories and lives of these women. We're going to ask questions. We're going to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to listen to one another. We're also going to write down our personal thoughts and learnings, and we will challenge ourselves on applications and next steps. So get your pen and pencil out, because we are going to study together and learn about this incredible unnamed servant girl in the Bible. That is coming up right now on See, Hear, Love.
From Crossroads Media, this is See, Hear, Love with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 13.
Well, welcome back, incredible panel. We're here together again in our third week of our five-part Bible series. So the first week we learned about ourselves. We shared our stories, your stories, God's stories. The second week we learned about the unnamed widow and her oil, and about community and vulnerability. And all I can think of is the jars, the everyday, the jars. And today we're talking about the servant girl, and so excited to dive in. And welcome. Welcome to you. Sarah Hahn, Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry at Tyndale University. Dr. Sarah Hahn.
Oh, Sarah's good.
Yeah, I know, but the doctor's always good too.
Yes.
Helen Burns, Pastor and International Speaker. It's good to have you back.
Be here.
Bishop Jenny Anderson, Rector of St. Paul's Bloor Street and St. George's Grange Park in Toronto.
Amazing to be here again.
Great, love it. And Anne Miranda from British Columbia all the way here, Pastor, Speaker, and Author. Thank you so much. And thanks to Canadian Bible Society for sponsoring this series for us. And also, I'm always saying this, and you know, you guys can hold them up too, but we need you to download this free Bible study guide at seeherlove.com/unnamedwomenstudy so you can follow along with us as we study the Bible together. Well, Sarah, are you ready?
Yes.
Because you are teaching today on the servant girl found in 2 Kings 5, 1 to 16, and we are ready with pen and paper for you to share the story and the context. So over to you.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy I got this story, because this story is just, it's my favorite kind of Bible story where God just shows how he loves to use the unexpected. He loves to use the underdog and the outsider, and he uses those that you would least expect to just open up the kingdom and reveal his power. And so 2 Kings, it takes place where the Israelites are in conflict with the Aramites or the Syrians, depending on what translation you have. Mm-hmm. And because they're in conflict, many times Israelites experience raiders coming up from Syria and taking captives from their villages. And so in this passage here, we see two people who are in direct contrast. We have Naaman, who is a Syrian warlord. He is a decorated warrior. And by all worldly measures, he is a powerful person. You know, he has horses and chariots. It says that he has millions of dollars at his disposal, you know, changes of clothes, everything that somebody would want to have. And so Naaman was the insider of the insider in Syria. He was the it person, one of the most powerful people in his nation. And then in contrast to Naaman, we have this young Israeli servant girl who was taken captive on one of these raids. You know, scholars estimate she was probably maybe 10 to 12 years old.
Wow.
She, as a captive, probably lost her family, you know, was kidnapped from her home, was displaced, and is now living as a slave in Syria. And so she is the powerless of the powerless, really the lowest rung of society. And she was the outsider of outsiders, you know, somebody that had no space to really exert her own power. And yet in this story, we see that in her littleness, her big words and her big heart causes her to be a powerful vessel of God's kingdom work in this story. And even though she's nameless, her role is so pivotal. You know, she breaks out of the silence of her slavery, and it is her speaking up that allows her master, Naaman, to be healed. And so she's really this initiator of hope. And she says to Naaman's wife, she says to her, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria. You know, in some translations it says, if only he could be with that prophet. You know, what faith of this little girl. She's saying, if only Naaman can go and be with this prophet, then he would be healed of his leprosy. And so this young girl, powerless as she was, she's just an outstanding example of faithful witness. You know, really, she was like an unwilling missionary, right? She was plucked out of her home, taken away from all that she loves, now in this place, the outsider of outsiders. And yet God used her tragedy and her captivity to accomplish a greater good. And you know, given that she's only 10 to 12 years old, I had to wonder, who are these parents of this little girl? You know, I have daughters that are 9 and 11. It just made me think, these parents just lived out that Deuteronomy 6 life of impress on your children who the Lord is. You know, let them memorize it. Tell them stories of what is happening. Because this girl, obviously, she knew who God was about. She knew what God was able to do. She knew that there was a prophet Elisha doing amazing things for people. And so this little girl made a bold statement of faith that allowed her, an outsider of outsiders, to be an instigator in transforming the insider of insiders, Naaman, both in body and in spirit. It says that his leprosy is completely taken away. He's made like a child. And while all other powerful leaders in the story, you know, the king of Israel, the king of Syria, all didn't believe, just this young unnamed girl used her words, used her faith to cause powerful ripple effects of the kingdom of God coming down. And I would like to think that her actions could have changed the nation. You know, Naaman was the warlord for the Israelite enemy, right? But now he declared himself. He said, now I believe there is no other God except the God of Israel. And so imagine, do you think he would have gone and fight the Israelites after this? I don't know. Who knows what the ripple effect of that may have been. And so I just love this story. And I would love to hear from each and every one of you. You know, what stood out for you as you were reading this story about this young Israeli captive who did this amazing work of ushering in the power of God through her words? Anne, why don't you start?
Yeah, I just think the fact that you said her littleness, but big heart and big story, because she could be dismissed as a servant, as a little girl, and yet her big faith names her as this initiator of hope. Like, well done. Great wording here. This is wow. Yeah, she had to be bold, and that must not have been easy, but yet, no, it was easy for her. Like, it's like she didn't even think about it. She was just like, if only. It just seems so simple, like the faith of a child.
Amazing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah, I was really struck how when you said she was 10 or 12 years old, that she still was willing to work within an oppressive system.
That's right.
She didn't kind of throw up her hands and go, oh no, I'm a slave, like I've got no power. I mean, she had no power, right? But she did not let God use her within an oppressive system. And she took a risk actually speaking up, and she said, you know, I wish my master would go to the prophet. It's a bit of a critique of Naaman, right?
Really?
But she's willing to say that within a system of oppression, and as you said, then becomes an initiator of hope, which is, you know, when we sort of feel all the forces are against us, it's so easy to go, well, you know, like everything's stacked against me. I now can't do anything. But not this girl. Like, wow, you go, girl. I mean, she's kind of amazing.
I love it so much. That was beautiful, what you brought out of it. What struck me as just this thought of, will they even listen to me? I could say something, but who am I? And will they even listen to me? This person who you said is the warlord, that is the kingpin, and this little girl decides to speak up. And you see the humility to listen, that someone would even listen, because the first question is, would they even listen to me? That's what I would think about, and how often I've been in situations and thought, I could say something, but would they even listen? I think it's powerful that she spoke up.
You know, and in that, what stuck out to me is that they actually listened to her. Sorry, I mean, I know it's the one thing for her to do that, but then all of a sudden it says, so Naaman, after he says that, it says, with prophet who in Samaria, with the prophet, and so she says that, and then he goes, who would cure him of his leprosy, period. So, Naaman went in and told his lord, blah, 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 and you're like, What?
You sort of think, like, what presence this young girl must have had, right? Like, is this the spirit of God that is just making
because
her
Because it was
cold?
Like, she says it, and then it goes, so, comma, Naaman, and it goes on. It's like they didn't, or unless we're missing something, they weren't like, let's question this little girl. Is she from a good home? How does she know? Like, was it, it was like, so, Naaman. Now, there could have been some of that conversation, but they didn't. It and that's what actually shocked me when I read this. I was like, they listened?
That's right.
And then he's healed in the story. I mean, to read the full story is amazing. But that's what really stuck out to me. It's like, wow.
Actually, if people are following along, I would highly suggest they pause and like read the whole story. Because they listen to that little girl. But then when the prophet gives the instructions and it, that and he was like angry with God, angry with the prophet. Like then he wasn't angry with her. It's like, all right, I'll go find my get my healing. Let's go. Right? Like it's just so fascinating to read the whole story. There's value
and,
in that.
Picturing the story, I almost think there must have been some kind of divine anointing in that moment on this girl. You know, she was living out who she was raised to be, but she must have said this with such confidence, with such charisma even, that they just didn't doubt her. Like, this will happen if we listen to her. And that's this is what I just love, is that God is able, what stood out to me is God is able to use the unexpected, to use the small, and God will be the one to anoint. God will be the one to allow his power to show through. And that just gives me so much hope for my daughters, my children, even for myself in so many situations.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
But I would love to just pick a little bit more into, you know, Naaman was the insider of insiders. And this young servant girl, she was the outsider of outsiders. And we live here in Canada. And just a quick statistic, they say being a follower of Jesus Christ now actually makes us a minority in Canada, actually. And you can go with it that way, or maybe in other areas where you may feel like an outsider. I would just love to hear, how can your faith be lived out in spaces where you also may feel like an outsider of an outsider? How are you inspired by this little girl to live out your faith that way in those spaces? And maybe Jenny, you want to take it away?
Thanks, Sarah. I was thinking, was it last summer, two summers ago, I was in a social situation, you know, a glass of wine, kind of relaxing, didn't know people really well, but people knew what I did for a living. And I remember there was this moment where, like, the conversation stopped because somebody said, you know, Jenny, you're a pastor. I'm like, yep, no, that's right. And I began to feel nervous. I'm like, oh, here it comes. And he's like, so, what does your church teach about MAID, about euthanasia? And I was like, oh, really, Jesus? Like, I just want to finish my glass of wine. And I remember in that moment, Luke 12, right, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And I realized in that moment, it was actually good for me to be the outsider and to experience being different than everybody else. Because actually people wanted me to be different. That's why they were asking me the question. And so I answered whatever I answered, which is of course a controversial issue in any setting. But I answered what I believe about God loving and protecting life. And, you know, there was a silence afterwards. It was awkward. But there were conversations after the social event that probably wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been able to answer in that moment. But it was really clear to me that it was because I asked the Holy Spirit. Because, like, you know, my mind goes blank. Yep. You're like, oh, my gosh, is anybody recording this? Right? Like, nowadays, in a situation, you're like, is someone recording? Anyway. But, you know, the Spirit will lead you in those moments. But I do think now as Christians, we actually have an opportunity because we are experienced as outsiders, because people want to hear something different than what they're living in the world, because it doesn't satisfy. So I think we have an opportunity to do that with some winsomeness and some gentleness, but only the Holy Spirit can lead us to do that.
Yeah.
I had a story of it. I was going to share something else. No. Well, it was years ago. I was preaching in another city, and I was flying home.
Yes.
And I was coming home and had to teach. It was Saturday night, and I was flying home to teach Sunday morning. My husband was away. But there was a snowstorm, and so the airport was shut down, and so there was no way to get home, but it was already evening. So long story short, somebody said, there's one van left that is like an 8-passenger van. Who wants to go? And I'm like, take me.
This is a movie.
No, it was. Trains, planes, and automobiles. I'm like, I just got in with all of these strangers. I didn't know them. They were all going to party, and so the only person who wasn't drinking a lot in the was me and the driver, and I thought if at any moment he picks up the alcohol, I'm gonna have to drive, and I'm terrified of driving in snow, but we were driving to Kelowna, another airport. Long story short, they're like, what were you doing in this city? And I said, well, I was just teaching. And so we'll talk about it. So they find out I'm a Christian. And then they found out that John and I do a lot of teaching around healthy sexuality. Whoa. Now, that was an outsider moment, because it was like, do we have Dr. Ruth in the car with us? And anyhow, it went from, so tell us what you believe. So suddenly I'm talking about what I believe the Bible teaches around healthy sexuality with people on their way to party and live a pretty debaucherous lifestyle for it was spring break. Anyhow, in that moment, I thought, God, you set that up. Mm-hmm. And even though it was so uncomfortable, I thought, I did not ask to be here. I just wanted to get home in time to preach. But God had set up a divine appointment with some of the most random people I've ever met. And here I am in that car. But God set that up. And it was an opportunity to speak up for what I believe. And it was, and they all listened. And I thought, well, I have a bold moment. I'm not going to see them again probably. So I'm just going to give them all that I got. But I wasn't planning on sharing that story, but yours reminded me.
It's true, though, right?
It's good. I know, when you talk about what God says about whether it's made or healthy, godly sexuality. Anything. God made sex, in case you people don't know. Yeah. He created it. Yeah. It's his idea.
Gift.
He's got ideas about it. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Anyway.
I love the fact
that's another show. That's another series. Next Bible series.
but I love the fact that you were going to preach. Right, you had it all planned, but God actually had another teaching moment ready for you ahead of time.
A stopover on the way.
There it is. He's like, I got another idea for you, Helen.
So good. I think it's my soul theologian is Bonhoeffer. I just love it. Eat up all the teaching. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I was reading recently Cost of Discipleship.
Mm. Yes.
And the words that we're all using are like, risk, take, be bold, be courageous. It's not comfortable. Self-sacrifice, even. It's not. You may not be liked to be an outsider.
Yep.
It's kind of what we're called to. We're just passing through, and I think it frees us up then to be like, okay, what's Holy Spirit already doing in those people's lives? Yeah. I just get to partner. Mm-hmm. I just get to be a part of this story, maybe a little part. Yeah. For me, it's. We were giggling, and I wasn't going to also tell the story, but my side ministry is hair removal. Every time I go.
Is this your side ministry or your side hustle?
No, I don't make any money out of this at all. No financial gain. Absolutely not. I just like, and there's a hair, this is a women's show. We're getting real right now. Okay, real and vulnerable. My estheticians for the last like maybe 10 years, all of them, they don't know the question's coming, but when they're waxing those eyebrows and I'm getting a dermaplane, I'm like sitting there. And the question that I'm going to ask is, so, hey, go to church? Or, so, tell me about yourself. You know, when you're the hairdresser and it's like hairdresser therapy?
Yes.
No, me, it's the other way around. And every single time, it's super uncomfortable, But then the stories come. Mm. Oh, one time I had a dream. Mm. Oh, this time my friend, when I was in elementary, took me to church. And oh, what do you do? Oh, wow, you work with girls that have been trafficked. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, the stories just kind of come out.
For sure.
And then one thing leads to another. And literally the last three estheticians that I've had have all come to know the Lord in a different
amazing.
Ways, crazy way.
Awesome.
And I'm like, Lord, it's just wonderful mm-hmm. to be able to kind of be the outsider and be comfortable. Mm-hmm. In embracing the fact yeah. that I'm not supposed to be yeah. something that I'm not going to pretend. Mm-hmm. This is yeah. who I am, and this yeah. is what I believe. I and so we're just going to love people well. Yeah. That's what this little girl did.
Yeah,
sure.
She loved that. Her master well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I never think of myself as the outsider. Mm. I always just sort of come in and I'm like, this is who I am, mm-hmm. and take it or leave it, love me, hate me. And what's interesting is every time I've been in situations that say aren't Christian or are uncomfortable, if you're confident with yourself, and I'm always like, okay, Holy Spirit is with me, I'm going in, I go in and just talk. And I have had so many conversations where people are like, I've always wanted to ask this question. Mm-hmm. Tell me really what happens in communion, because mm-hmm. you're a Christian. Or like, it will just come out naturally. It's an interesting thing because actually there's a lot of people seeking for answers. They're not going to come to the church.
No.
But they'll, if you're in their space, they'll yep. ask you the questions. And so I have found over and over again when I'm in those spaces, people will just say, oh, I have a question about this. What do you think about this? And I found in my own experience, most people aren't combative. They're curious. Yeah, so I just right. meet curiosity with my own curiosity and questions and have found that relationship has really worked. Has there been the odd time where people are like, yeah, sure. but it doesn't offend me. I'm like, okay. Well, that's really too bad because this is a wonderful life and relationship I have with Jesus. Yeah. And then, so I think that in that way, I found that being this outsider has been good mm-hmm. because I'm actually an outsider in places where people are like, we actually want the outsider to come in and speak with yeah. us and share with us because I'm not going to go into those other spaces. That makes me mm-hmm. uncomfortable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that is sort of my journey and experience. And mm-hmm. it's been really great. I actually want to be in more of those spaces. Mm-hmm. That's a prayer that we can pray for all of us, that we're absolutely. In more of those spaces to have those kinds yep. of conversations. Yeah. Or God lead us more to the party van. To the party van or the cottage weekends away.
Yeah. Yeah.
God lead us more to the parties. Or, I don't know. But yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's sort of where I'm at in that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And where I feel really inspired is this was her everyday life situation. Mm-hmm. And I recently I've realized that in my everyday, there actually are so many opportunities. Sure. If I could just see myself as just be yourself, you know, it's okay that your neighbor's not a Christian or that yeah. your coworkers mm-hmm. are not Christians. If you could just fully be yourself, who knows how God can take one sentence of what I may say or mm-hmm. one prayer that I may awkwardly pray to really change the trajectory mm-hmm. of someone's eternity. Yeah. And so recently, I've just being inspired by this little girl too, in this season of life, I've just been asking myself, how could I be true to me? You know, Jesus believing Sarah. Because so many times when I talk to neighbors and they'll ask me how I'm doing, I'll give the stock answer. Or if they tell me a challenge they're going through, I'll try to come up with practical solutions for them. Because I feel like that's who you have to be when you're in the world and you're a Christian. You don't want to step on people's toes. But in this season of life, I don't know, maybe it's 40s, you know, 40s and free. Like, I just, when people say I'm going through a challenge, I'll just, can I pray for you? I don't know what you believe, but I believe in a God that hears prayers and a God can do miracles. Yeah. Can I just pray for you? And since I've changed that attitude, I've just found so many opportunities where God does amazing things mm-hmm. because of just one sentence, like mm-hmm. this little girl that I've been bold enough to say or bold enough to do. And so lastly, I would just love to ask us, you know, how do you feel inspired to really mm-hmm. act out in faith in some area of your life? You don't have to name names. You don't have to name a space. Mm-hmm. But in what ways do you want to kind of come out of your shell and you know, be in the world, not of the world, but be in it, you know, and be engaged in it and love the people, just like this girl loved her master. But Helen, what do you think?
That's such a good question. I think as you were talking, I and how God just orchestrates divine appointments. We don't know them, mm-hmm. but as you talked about earlier, it's like just waking up with a sense of God, lead me today. What are the things you have for me to do? And that day I did not plan on going in a van with people that were all, it was literally a party bus. They stopped at the alcohol store for the very first stop. And but in that, I think something that my husband always says, and I think is true, show up in as the authentic you. Don't hide who you are. We don't have to come out with, you know, a Jesus t-shirt and ask me about Jesus, but our life should be an invitation. Our life should actually be a question that if people get around you, they sense the presence, the spirit of God on you, and they might not know what it is, but when they get around you, you are a light set on a, you know, for to shine before man, that we just actually show up in our true authentic self. And John used to always say, I just tell people who I am before they have to even ask the question. And you don't have to give the whole, you know, a bio, but you let people know who you are and you lead with your life, and it should cause people to be thirsty for what's on the inside of you. And when we do that, I think God just divinely, from someone I sat on a plane with yesterday or somebody I'm going to meet at Starbucks, I expect to have encounters that God sets up. And I feel like we get a little smile from heaven. That's See, great. I did that. Yeah. And you showed up for it.
That's so good.
Good, too. Yeah.
It's the best when someone says, something's different about you.
I know you should notice that you're not the same as everything else in culture. They should notice the glimmer of light. They may not be able to say it like that, but they should notice that. I think it's really, it's a beautiful thing to be different. That was the, I don't know how to use the word magic, but that was what was special about like Acts 2 in the first church. And they were they were loving one another and breaking bread and eating together and praying together. And their love was magnetic. And that was what was drawing people away from the current culture. It was countercultural. So if we can be just our authentic self, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Something we've talked about in each of our studies, just the power of community. We had house guests this Christmas. Our daughter Kate lives in England, and she said, Mommy, could my roommate come for Christmas? And I was like, of course, of course. But I remember thinking, I don't really want him to come because, like, I just want our family time. Anyway, this young man came and spent a week with us in our house. He'd grown up with kind of a church background. And I said to Kate, like, before he comes for Christmas, you need to tell him there's, like, a lot of church in our house. Like, especially at Christmas. Like, so just, he doesn't have to come with us, but like, heads up, right? Anyway, he came with us to every service. You know, obviously we prayed at meals and like, we just talk about faith all the time. And what was so encouraging is we went back to England, he texted Kate and she sent me the text and he said, you know, I actually feel closer to God after spending a week with your family. And I remember feeling so relieved because I was like, oh my gosh, this would have been such a condemnation of our family life if he hadn't, right? But just that boldness of how just the kind of casual everyday living of our faith can really impact people. And we weren't sort of, we didn't have like a strategy of how to handle the week, but the God worked through the kind of everydayness of our faith, broken and stumbling as it was. It still had an impact on this young man.
You know, I love that because it's my neighbor, you know, been hanging out with our neighbor, Chris and I, and she invited us over for apps and a hangout in the evening and just being with her over the time. And then all of a sudden, she just looked at me and said, so, why do you follow Jesus? I was like, that was your question? She's like, I'd like to know. And then she goes, after I shared, she goes, and Chris, what about you? And I'm like, here's the thing. We show up as, you know, we kind of wrap up this time. We show up as ourselves, our authentic selves. The light of God's spirit in us. Like we are different and we may be the outsider, but the world so desperately longs for it, wants the presence of God with them. And so if we're that, it's like, let's show up. Let's be this little girl to speak confidently and suggest and say, hey, I have a way that you can be healed, or I have a way. And it doesn't matter what age. I think this is a great takeaway is that no matter what age, you can have the faith and you can believe and speak up no matter what. And so I love this in wrapping up, be open to God's van parties, divine appointments, show up as your authentic self. May our lives be an invitation. I just love this, you know, having big faith. There's so much. So thank you.
Thank
Sarah, great so teaching so today. I so appreciate you. Helen, Jenny, and Anne, thank you so much. It was amazing. I love this this takeaway. So as usually, like what we like to do is wrap up with prayer. So Jenny, how about you close us up in prayer today?
Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are working in our daily lives by the power of your Holy Spirit and that you are bringing people into our lives. They may be powerful people, they may intimidate us, Lord, but by your Holy Spirit, you're going to guide us. And so we ask that your Spirit would give us eyes to see the opportunities that you're laying before us. Lord, there are people in our lives that want healing of body, of mind, of spirit. And Father, we pray that you would give us boldness to speak into their lives, to show them that your son Jesus is the great physician and wants to heal all that just causes us great pain and suffering. So Father, I pray that you would give us boldness in these encounters. You would give us the words to say by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we would be agents of your healing and your reconciliation in our families, with our children, at work, with our work colleagues, Lord, and that we would just shine as your lights in the darkness in so many people's lives. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much again, Sarah, Helen, Jenny, and thank you. Don't forget to sign up for our Bible study guide at seeherlove.com/unnamedwomenstudy. Thank you. And social media, you're like, make sure you follow us on socials. And may our stories and these unnamed women inspire you to follow Jesus and serve others with all of your heart, mind, and soul. And always know you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply loved by God. Thank you so much for joining us.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See Hear Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See Hear Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.